Blessings to all of you. It's good to be here this morning and looking forward to spending a number of days together. Opening our hearts to the Lord and having Him take His big flashlight into our hearts and do His continued work. We all need that, don't we? We really do. I think it would be just right and good to just kneel before the Lord and have a time of prayer here. Can we just kneel together? Our Father in heaven, we do call upon you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, at the beginning of these meetings, these number of days we're gathered, we're gathering in Jesus' name. We're gathering to open up the Word of God. We're gathering to open our hearts to you. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would just please come and be in our midst. We ask that you would anoint the preaching of the Word. Lord, give me clear thoughts and the ability to convey just a clear burden. Lord, be with the other brothers as they share as well today. And oh God, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd help all of us to just open our hearts to you to receive the Word of God. We ask, Lord, that you would establish our path and help us, O God. Lord, we need you in this generation. We just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you enable us to be solid as we walk day by day. We'd walk in the Spirit, we walk in obedience to your Word, and we guide our homes and we function together as brothers in the church. And Lord, here we are. Just ask for your help just now. So thank you for being here. In Christ's name, amen. You might have looked on your paper. On the paper here it says for the title of maybe the number of sermons that I'm going to be sharing here, Deceptions and Challenges We Face Today. And that's a pretty broad subject. And maybe I'll give you a bit of an idea for the first three specifically. I don't have Fridays, I don't have a title for yet, and so I'll just wait to put that out. But the title for the sermon this morning that I'd like to put out here is The Confusion of the Charismatic Gifts. Tomorrow morning, I'd like to be specifically speaking about the gift of tongues. And Wednesday, I'd like to be specifically speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Fridays, we'll see how the Lord directs on the title for that specifically. As I've considered these subjects, or this whole subject on some of these gifts, it's been, I'm going to say, a subject that in bygone days, in my earlier years, I have wrestled with it a fair amount trying to sort through, and I'm going to say that it's one of the subjects that there's very little teaching on. And I'm going to say a fair amount of confusion, just a lot of confusion. And if I say confusion, I remember many years ago as a young man, in my sincerity and earnestness of my heart, seeking God and looking at some of the scriptures. And as I looked at the scriptures, the things that were coming to my mind are some of the things that I saw out there. And I looked at our local churches, and I looked at the people we fellowship with, and I realized that some of these gifts and some of the things that I read in the Bible, I don't see. I don't see these gifts among us. And so as I, in my desire to serve God and in my desire to do and become all that God has for me, there was confusion in my mind. There was wrestlings. And it's that confusion that I like to speak into this week. I feel that there's a lot of confusion on the subject because we look at this, look at the Word of God, and yet what we perceive the Scripture to be saying, we look among us and we say, where is it? What is it? What does God have for me? And if you're like myself, I'm one of those that if the Bible says it, I want it. If Scripture teaches it, I want to go after it. And it's with that subject, it's with that heartbeat that I bring some of the sermons that I'm looking at here this week. I remember very well, right around 25 years ago as a young man, working side by side with a teenager, actually coming up into his 20s. And he was a young man from an Anabaptist setting, a conservative Anabaptist setting, and he was not converted. And I remember the time that I spent praying for him, and I remember the time I spent sharing the gospel with him. And the days and weeks and months that went by, and one day he got converted. And the joy that filled my heart and the sweet fellowship that we had for a time. And he was also one of those that when he had decided to follow God and he was willing to do whatever it takes. He got married, and soon after, he made some changes. He started attending a different fellowship. And it wasn't long that I observed, and in our continued conversation, I saw there was confusion going on in his mind. He was looking at some of these scriptures about the gifts, the charismatic gifts, and he was looking at some of those things, and he was saying in his own heart, why aren't we doing these? Why don't we see this? Why isn't this among us? And I saw the confusion and the wrestle going on in his heart. And it wasn't long that he moved on. And today, he's in some distant state. I think he professes to be a Christian, but you couldn't see it. He's lost. He's lost his way. He's lost his way. And it's with that kind of burden that I stand here this morning, endeavoring to give us maybe a glimpse and an idea. And maybe as we look into the Word of God and we allow the Word to speak to us, it can help us and give us understanding that will establish us in the Word of God. Why are there gifts that the Bible teaches about, but we don't see them exercised today? We hear many of these gifts exercised in churches that we don't feel comfortable with. And in an endeavor to be and become all that God has, there are many that have become deceived, walked away from solid biblical teachings, and after some of these teachings, we don't see or they've fallen into deception as they continue on down that journey. Why is that? Why is that? Why do people from charismatic churches practice gifts that we don't? Why is that? Turn with me for an opening scripture to the book of Mark. I want to read a number of verses in Mark chapter 16. You want to turn there with me? And again, the title this morning is The Confusion of the Charismatic Gifts. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now also turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read a number of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same gift which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I think we'll stop there. We look at these scriptures. We look at the God in his foresight and God in his understanding, God in looking at his church, his bride, and he looks at his plan long term, and he looks at what his people need and the giftings they need, and he starts dishing out gifts to his people. And obviously right here, there's giftings and there's others in Ephesians, others in Romans, various other giftings, and we won't be looking at those this week, but more specifically some of the ones here in 1 Corinthians, and I'm just going to call them the charismatic gifts. In fact, the gifts there, that word originates from, our word charismatic today originates from that word. Why do people from charismatic churches practice gifts that we don't? I'd like to maybe just start in by giving you a little bit of an overview of the conclusion. And I'll just keep it very brief and very simple. And then we'll go on down through and we'll look at what Scripture has to say. I like to say here this morning some of the things that I might put out here. Maybe you'll sit here and you'll disagree with me, and you're welcome to do that. I'll give you that liberty. I don't feel like I have it all together. I do feel like as we look at Scripture opens our understanding, and I'd like to teach and then also be open to be taught. And so maybe some of the things that I'm going to share here this morning are new thoughts with you, for you. And if they're new thoughts for you, I'm going to suggest that it's good to just think through those things and compare Scripture with Scripture. I'd like to do that here. I'm going to suggest that in the whole charismatic circles, Pentecostal charismatic circles, there is a lot of the gifts are exercised and viewed in a mystical form that is not biblical. In a mystical form that's not biblical. And it draws people into it. But if you really look at what the gifts are, and if you look at the big picture of Scripture teaching, it doesn't match. And my goal here this morning is to give us a biblical view and understanding of these gifts and their function and work. And here's another part of the overview that I'm just going to put out here, and you think about it. There are three gifts specifically given that the Apostle Paul says that they will cease. He didn't say when. He didn't say when. But he says they will cease. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, it says this way, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And we'll come back to this a little bit later on and speak more about it. But just think about those things as we go on down through here in the teaching. Here's a list from the two scriptures that we read here earlier on in Mark chapter 16, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of some of the things that I'm going to say for many brings question, some confusion, but it's the things that that many bring up as questions. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, or actually verse 15 on down through, these are not specifically talking about gifts. But the ones in Mark chapter 16, I'd like to suggest that it says that these things will follow after them that believe. They're not gifts, but they're going to follow after those that believe. And I'm going to just mention five of them here. In my name shall they cast out devils. And number two, they shall speak with new tongues or languages. And number three, they shall take up serpents. Number four, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And number five, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, these specifically here in Mark chapter 16, I like to suggest that Jesus is saying here that these signs are going to follow after. And the confusion that comes is people look at these verses and they look at the church and the brotherhood and they ask the question, why aren't these things happening regularly among us? That question comes. Why aren't these things happening? And maybe some are, but why aren't they happening? And that's a confusion. In 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions nine. The gift of healing, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, faith, and working of miracles. All of these are the things we want to look at this morning as we go on down through here and try to bring some understanding and clarification to help us understand how those fit in with us today. And I'm going to suggest, I'm just going to suggest, first of all, that there are some of these things that ought to be happening more than they are among us. Okay? I don't know if you get that. There are some of these things that, as we're going to go down through here, I like to just suggest and lift it up. There are some of these things that I believe God would want for them to be happening more among us. And then there's others that there's confusion on. And I'm going to suggest that on this subject of these charismatic gifts, we have been given a picture of how they ought to look by the charismatic and Pentecostal people. And that picture is not a right picture. It's not a right picture. And I'd like to maybe to illustrate this. I think all of you know that for people who get involved in pornography, if you get involved in pornography, there's a picture that you receive of what that physical relationship looks like, is that's totally perverted, and people who watch pornography and get entrenched in that, what they have in their minds is totally false. It's totally false. In fact, when people come into marriage like that and they join with their wife, they have horrible repercussions because what they thought it's intended to be is totally wrong. And I'd like to just suggest that this is a little bit the same way. This is a little bit the same way. The picture that we have of some of these gifts is tainted, it's turned, it's perverted. And it's not the way God really intends it to be and to function. And my goal here this morning is to try to give us understanding, to try to help us obey God and His Word in faithfulness. And I mentioned it earlier, but I'm just going to mention it again, that this idea or this whole thing of these gifts being mystical, there's a lot of, I'm going to say, mysticism and mystical things going on with a lot of these gifts. That's a wrong view. It's a wrong view. And I'm just going to give you one as an example of that. Okay, I'm going to give you one example. In 1 Corinthians 12, it speaks about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. This gift, in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, I've sat there and watched these things happen. And it happens in various places. Maybe there's a prayer meeting, and there's prayer going on. Maybe there's a Bible study, or maybe there's a church service. And there's brethren, group of sincere people gathered, and as they're sharing, all of a sudden, there's someone that will stop and say, okay, there's someone in our midst that's living in sin. And God is asking you to repent. And everything is quiet for a while. Then all of a sudden someone speaks up and says, that's me. Okay. That is viewed as the word of knowledge. I like to suggest that that is not a proper view and understanding of the word of knowledge. That can be readily done by anyone. In many groups, there are things going on with those kinds of things. And it's a mystical, I'm just going to say there's things going on there, and it's put out to be the word of knowledge. I'm going to suggest that that is not the true word of knowledge that the Bible speaks about. But that's put out to be the word of knowledge. And we're going to talk about it more, what it really is. But I'd like to suggest that that is not the word of knowledge that Scripture is really, it's not the gift, the word of knowledge. It's not, that's not it. And we'll talk more about it. I'd also like to just very briefly look at this whole idea of what a gift is. What is a gift? If a man has a gift, it's something that, it's a burden that he carries. It's something that God has burdened him and gifted him, and it's just naturally there. You know, back home, I could just sort of point them out. You know, I don't know all of you all that well. But back home, if you look at various brothers, if you look at various brothers, you know, that man has a gift of teaching. And obviously that's a little bit different type of gift. But if someone has a gift of teaching, there's something within him. It's just that's who he is, and that's a burden he carries, and that's what comes out of him, and that's who he is. There's a gift from God that rests upon him. And then naturally it flows out. It's a gift. Gifts. These charismatic gifts, many of them are intended to be primarily exercised in evangelism. Many of them. Not all. There's some of these gifts are to flow within the brotherhood. But many of these gifts are primarily designed to be out there in evangelism. And the more evangelism it is, and the more evangelism that's going on, and the more dark the settings, and the more corrupt, God uses these things to somehow help people understand that God is real. This is the truth. It's also for the edification of the body, and it's also for personal edification. A gift. A person doesn't need to know he has a gift in order for it to be there. If a person is sensitive to God, a person is open to God and his heart is open, there's a burden. Just those things are there. I'd like to just make another point here yet. It says in Mark 16, verse 17, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." They shall follow them. There's many that follow after it. But here it says, "These signs shall follow them." There's a difference between following after these gifts and after these things, and something else for us, for it to follow after us. We're wholeheartedly serving God and sharing. It's another thing to follow after it. Now, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 13. And I like to just look at these couple verses here. And again, I'm just going to beg of you, maybe you disagree with me. And I don't stand here as an authority. I'm going to open myself to you. I could be wrong, but I'd like to just read this and have you consider what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're just going to start reading in verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I have my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not seek, or does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That fail means to quit, to stop. Whether there be prophecies, they will cease. That's what it means. He goes on, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Same thing, means to stop, quit. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The question that I like to just raise here with this scripture is, when will that happen? When will that happen? Or has that happened on those three? Consider with me those three gifts. As we go on down through here tomorrow, I'd like to specifically talk about the gift of tongues and give us a more clear understanding on the gift of tongues. But it specifically talks about tongues, the word of knowledge, and prophecy, those three. And we're going to go on down here and look at those. But consider those three. It specifically mentions those three. It doesn't mention the others, but those three specifically, it says they will stop. They will cease. They're going to quit. When will they quit? When is that? Or have they? Question I'd like to just raise. Now, as we look at prophecy, for example, I like to suggest that as we look at the whole idea of prophecy, there's two ways that this word has been used. One is to prophesy into the future. One way is to prophesy of things to come. And another way that this word is used the most in Scripture is to speak under the divine inspiration of God. A preacher who's up here preaching the word, he's prophesying the word. He's prophesying. But there's also prophecies given, and I like to separate the two. When it says here that it will cease, I like to suggest that the speaking forth into the future, making prophecies about the future, it's that specifically that is going to cease. It'll quit. Has it quit already? Or when will it? When will it quit? When will it cease? The speaking into the future and prophesying about things to come. In Acts chapter 11, it gives us a very clear instance where Agabus prophesied about the future. Turn there with me. Acts chapter 11, we like to read in verse 27. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth come throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. I like to suggest that this type of prophecy didn't happen Very often in the early church, in fact, this is the only one there's only about one or two. I think there's one more. That this type of prophecy was used. And then here in 1 Corinthians, you look at it, and it says that it will cease. In the early church, there was a need for a lot of, what I'm going to say, God used prophecy, God used divine inspiration to bring the new covenant and a transition into the new covenant and the church and all those things. Wonderful things happen. But these three specifically, it says that they will cease. Has that happened already? Or when will it happen? The question I would like to just raise. But then, prophesy, as it's used in most of the New Testament, is to be speaking under the divine influence of God, preaching up here like I am this morning. It's prophesying the word of God, prophesying in the... and it's a gospel going forth through opening your mouth and preaching and speaking the truth. So it's prophecy. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues. The tongues, the languages, is used both in Mark chapter 16, where it says these signs shall follow them that believe, and it's also mentioned as a gift in 1 Corinthians 12. It's mentioned both. And tomorrow we'd like to look more extensively at what is the gift of tongues. If you look up the word tongues, it means languages, a language. It means languages or a language. That's what it means. Speaking or hearing in a language that I have not previously known before. And I'm just going to put a little snippet in here. You can think about preparation for tomorrow. But there is no example in the Bible of a person praying in tongues. The purpose of tongues is for a sign to them that believe not. And we'll look at those things tomorrow. But again, this is one of those three that I put out the question, has it quit already or when will it quit? I'd like to just ask that question, plant that in our minds. And number three is the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge. I'd like to give you a biblical instance where the word of knowledge was clearly used in the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5, and we want to just read down through here where the word of knowledge was used. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto God, but unto... Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. I'd like to suggest that Peter had very specific knowledge of what happened there. Very specific knowledge. These other situations that you hear and where it's put out to be, there isn't specific knowledge. It's used in general terms. It's not this type of knowledge. It's not this. Here's an example of the word of knowledge that Peter had. He exercised and used it. Here's another heading, a biblical view of these gifts. I'd like to again refresh our mind. As we go down through here this morning, we look at the various gifts. There are some of these gifts that are very specifically intended primarily for outreach. Some of them are used in both. And I'd also like to say that maybe, just maybe, there's a need for us. Maybe we're weak. Okay? You follow? I'm going to say there's confusion and some wrong, deceptive teaching. But I'm also going to say that maybe, brothers, there's some things where we aren't where we need to be. And we need to open our hearts to that. First one I'd like to just take a look at is the gift of healing. The gift of healing. I think many of us are aware of some of the healing campaigns and different things that happen across the country these days, and how people are prayed over in such a way that it puts God in a box, and there's scandals go on with the whole healing campaigns and lots of things that happen that are not good and not right and not true. You know that, right? But I would like to suggest that there has been, and I'm going to first look at, maybe as a brotherhood, I'm going to suggest that maybe there ought to be more healings going on in our midst than there is. Maybe there is. I know back home, it's a fairly normal thing to have anointing with oil. In James 5, it very clearly instructs us that if there's sickness, there ought to be anointing with oil. Calling for the elders of the church. And it's a way that God has instructed us to be functioning in a normal way. It ought to be normal in our midst for there to be anointing with oil and laying on of hands and healing. And there's been many healings in our midst back home. Then there's also been anointings where there has not been any healing. God knows all that, but we're endeavoring to follow Him and obey Him and do what He says, right? And I'm also going to say that this gift, or maybe, you know, this is put out also out as a gift of healing. There are some people that have the gift of healing. And in outreach endeavors, these kind of things, these are things that God uses to convince people of the truth. I remember some years back, there's a situation in a local city where our church had involvement, has involvement, and there was a man, he was a Hindu, and it seemed like he was very, very open to the gospel, and yet he had a lot of bondages in his life, and it was quite clear that his level of involvement, all that affected his physical body. The way he walked, he actually walked like a cripple. He was known among the people as one of those that is not healthy. He couldn't hold a job. He walked around as a cripple. And I remember one day being there and talking to him, and I just felt prompted by the Spirit of God to say, young man, if you repent from your sin, you turn to God, God is going to come and heal your body and make you totally whole. And after I said it, I stood there realizing what I just said, you know. I was prompted by the Spirit of God to do that. And some weeks later, he repented. And when he repented, and when he turned to God, his physical issues were gone. In fact, locally, his friends, they looked on and said, what happened to him? He's walking normally again. And I'm going to say that God uses those types of things. And maybe if they aren't happening at all, maybe we aren't active enough. But I'm going to say that those types of things don't normally happen a lot in the local church. More on outreach types of things. Now, do you follow the difference? Okay. And sometimes we look at these verses and we say, why isn't that happening right here? Well, it wasn't intended to be that way here. Here's another heading. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. I think there's some of those things happen. And I think for the most part we're maybe fairly clear in our understanding with some of that. I do know that some of this casting out spirit, sometimes there are some of the things are used in ways that it should not. And specifically, sometimes it goes to the extent of casting out a spirit of drunkenness and a spirit of lust and just those types of things. I'm going to suggest that's not what it's talking about. But if there's an evil spirits need to be cast out in Jesus' name. Sometimes it takes fasting and prayer. And here in the United States, I'm going to say that a lot of those things are covered over by medication. You go to other countries and it becomes pretty prevalent, or it's a lot more exposed and you see what's going on. But it says, this is not a gift. This is not a gift, but it's one of the things that shall follow them that believe. It shall follow them that believe. Here's another one. Working of miracles. Working of miracles. And I'm going to, again, put out here that this working of miracles is one of the things that is primarily seen out and about. It's primarily seen in the outreach field, in working, sharing the gospel with people. It's primarily seen there. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it gives us an example. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were wrought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There was miracles going on. Those were happening with Paul. And I'm going to suggest that miracles, those things are things that God uses to help convince the sinner of God. You don't see those things a whole lot locally. But out and about and sharing the gospel, there's things that are used. God uses things. And some people have the gift of, in working with situation, things come out of their mouth. And miracles happen. One of the brothers was recently telling me how some of them were out on the street preaching the gospel. They were there preaching, a couple of them. And as they were preaching, there was someone came up and set up behind them. And it was going to be a big distraction. And I forget the specifics, but there's something gone on that they wanted to, I'm not sure, was it a torch that they wanted to light? There's something that they wanted to light, and it was some big thing. Those brothers prayed, and they said, God, would you please make that thing doesn't light? And it didn't light. And a half hour later, they said, you know how to get it to go? And they said, no, we'll just go somewhere else, and it'll work. God does miracles. God does miracles at the hands of his servants so that people believe and they look to God and they say, God is real. But brothers, there's many people seeking after signs today. They're walking after signs. When we as a people of God in a local church, we're called to walk by faith. We're called to walk. Those kind of things aren't as prevalent in a local body, and they never will be, because we are called to walk by faith. Here's another one. They shall take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. This is not a gift, but it's one of those things that's going to follow after them that believe. And one of our local brothers at home, here's some years ago, he lived in some southern state, and right next door there is some kind of a charismatic church. And one of the exercises that they regularly did on a Sunday morning is they would bring a snake into the middle of the service. I don't know what all they did with it, but they brought in a snake to show that they wouldn't get bit. And then it wouldn't affect them. But they actually did get bit. But let me tell you, that's not what this word is saying. That's not what this word is saying. These scriptures are saying that if you're out in some place and you get bitten by a snake, you can pray and those things won't affect you. You can pray, and the gospel will keep on going forth, and there are things around you that'll happen, and they won't have their effect because you're there sharing the gospel. Just like Paul, when he was on that island, he shook off the snake, and they looked at him, and when he should have fallen over dead, everything was fine. Here's another heading. A word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. What is it? What is a word of wisdom? Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, when they were all gathered, the elders were gathered, the brethren were gathered, there's Paul and the apostles, and all of them were gathered together, and there's a lot of things happening there. And this is what it says in verse 13. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. And James went on to put out a clear word of wisdom that they all looked at and they said, Oh, this is a word from God. This is the direction we need to go. God gives brothers in the church wisdom. And I'm sure you have experienced it too in your local brotherhoods, where there have been brothers' meetings and discussions and things going on, and it seemed like, there's all kinds of things, rattling the cage, and finally a brother speaks up. And he gives a word of wisdom, and there's a clear direction as to where to go. Let me tell you, God gives those words of wisdom, and he gifts brothers with those things. What a wonderful, beautiful thing.
Those are just some examples. Interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Tomorrow, we're going to speak about tongues, languages. But what is interpretation of tongues? Now, the way this normally happens in your charismatic / Pentecostal settings, and I've seen it, I've been there, I've watched it. Someone will speak in a public setting, and everyone there, there's no one there that understands. But then there's someone that will start speaking, and they will interpret. They will have a divine revelation, what was said that they don't even, that no one understands. And they interpret that. That is what interpretation of tongues is put out to be. I like to suggest that that is false teaching. Interpretation of tongues, I would like to suggest, is just simply interpreting just like we do. I mean, various of you brothers, you go overseas in various places, and you preach the word to someone else, and you have someone standing beside you interpreting what you're speaking. It's as simple as that. I like to suggest that there's some people that are gifted in doing that, and there's others that don't have that gift. I have preached in various places over the years, and there's some, as I share and as I preach, they're able to share to some extent, but then they get hobbled and we have to stop, and you know how that goes. It's just not quite all there. But then I've also preached. I remember various ones that preached, and I could preach like I am this morning, and I could keep going, and the interpreter that was beside me, he would keep going with the heart, and when I have tears in my eyes, he'd have tears in his eyes. And he would speak with the very emotion and heart that I have. And the message flowed forth. And he had a gift of interpretation. And it's false teaching, that picture that I just put out there, that has been given to us. And we look here and we say, why isn't that happening in our midst? Why isn't that happening in our midst? Why isn't it? Why aren't those things happening? I like to suggest they're not happening because it's false teaching, false view, wrong understanding. And again, we'll speak about tongues tomorrow, the gift of tongues. Want to look at that in itself tomorrow, because it's a subject I think we really need to take a look at closely. Here's another heading, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. You know, God has given men the gift of discernment. And there are brothers in our midst, and sometimes they're local and sometimes they're abroad. But there is a level of discernment that they carry that others that don't have that gift, they don't have it. There's a level of discernment of spirits, where they have a, you know, there can be a conversation, and there's just an ability to know what's really going on way beyond what most people see. Discernment of spirits. God gifts brothers in our midst with those gifts. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
There's men that God gives a gift of discernment.
Discerning of spirits. And I could mention a couple in our midst, and you have the same.
With various ones, just like the gift of healing, there are men who simply carry that burden. And they come on a situation, and there's something within just rises up. And they know, we need to pray for this man, and they lay hands on him, and there's healing. You know, just all of those things, that's how it works. That's how it's intended to be.
There's another heading, faith. Faith.
Now, Scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Scripture also says that we need to believe and be baptized. So without faith, we can't even come to conversion. And, you know, faith is a part of the very core of salvation. Repentance and faith is at the very core. But here it puts out faith as a gift. And if you think through this a bit, I'm sure you know people who, when they come up to situations, you just sense they have faith. It just rises up within them, and they have confidence and faith in God that this mountain, God's going to do something, and faith just moves forward, and everyone else looks on, and they're inspired by it. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. God gives men the gift of faith, and that expresses itself in a local body as well as abroad.
Acts chapter 6, verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power.
Now, it makes me wonder at times, if you look at some of those men, Stephen and Peter and Paul, why is it that they were always the ones getting in trouble, not the others? I'm going to suggest that they were men of faith. They were men of faith and power who stepped forward in Jesus' name. And there's a faith and a confidence and a boldness that drove them to that. They had the gift of faith. Stephen had the gift of faith. Men looked on and they looked at his boldness and they looked at how he was functioning and they said, God's with him. He's a man of faith.
Full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Brothers, I don't know if I'm bringing more confusion to you or if I'm helping bring clarity on this whole subject of some of these gifts. My goal here this week is to help us come to the place where we can identify, we can understand, as we read through the Word of God, we can know what that means. And that confusion, that picture that we've had. Here not so long ago, I was talking with a man. And we were talking about one of the gifts. And he immediately had something to say. And as I listened, we talked for a while, then I just asked him the question, are you sure that what you're understanding about that gift is what the Bible means? Or did you get that understanding from what you've heard and read and seen? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. God help us to be at a place where we take the word for what it means.
Amen.
And follow it
We need to be students of the Word. I'm going to suggest that this has brought tremendous deception to many churches, to many individuals. And I'm going to say, as I look back in my younger years, some of the prayers I prayed, today I'd pray similar prayers, but a little bit different. Because I know that there was a time that I was seeking after things that is that wrong picture. God help us to have a clear understanding.